This is the FPL Experiment Podcast. Three mates in control of one fantasy football team. The target is to hit the top 50k. We want to be inside the top 50,000 teams by the end of the season. We were so happy after wildcard week. Game week six came along. Yeah, not so much after that. Plenty to discuss. The FPL Experiment Podcast is me. I'm Adam Inker, and Greg, who is here despite the fact that he's not feeling very well. Greg, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good, mate. Do you know what? We've actually got videos on this week, and it's really nice to see both your faces whilst talking. I can't stop smiling.
Okay, we'll put that down to illness. Nick, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Adam. I like to go over what I've eaten. So I've just had a lovely meatball dish, homemade meatballs, with carbs, because it's a Thursday and it's a treat. And I've also got a lovely little glass of Pinot Noir on the go.
The carb of choice tonight, Nick?
Spaghetti. Lovely. Oh. I didn't have any dessert, though. I have made a lovely banana loaf downstairs, but I'll have that when I finish as a treat. The whole life, yeah.
Before we talk about anything today, before we talk in particular about how badly our team performed this game week, Premier League kicked off on Friday, Greg, as I'm sure you know. Now, Nick and I, we know that you're going to want to bang on about Bamford and Leeds. We're absolutely 100% sure that that's what you're going to want to do. Now, we don't want you over there like a champagne bottle on the edge of being popped, or, you know, like a whale with a jellyfish stuck in its blowhole.
Or Richmond sausage, an unpricked Richmond sausage ready to pop in the oven.
Mm. Very, very good. So what we're going to do right at the top of the podcast is give you 20 seconds to just get it all out of your system. And then we can all go about our business happy and we just won't talk about it again. All right?
Oh, wow. What a treat. Can I just say like Bamford?
You've got 20 seconds, Greg, to talk about Bamford and Leeds starting now.
Well, you two were poo-pooing. I like that phrase, but you were slagging us off like the week before against Wolves. Look how amazing we are. Bamford, amazing. Harrison, amazing. Dallas, amazing. Meslier, amazing. We were on fire. What a performance. And we should probably have 11 Leeds players in our team for this week. Timed that well, didn't I?
You nailed that. You should go into broadcasting.
There was a lot of amazing, though, wasn't there?
Right. So now the only people that can discuss Leeds are me and Nick. Okay, brilliant. Right. I want to apologise. I want to apologise to our listeners, because normally the podcast is out every Thursday morning. There's been life stuff going on, so that means that hasn't been able to be the case. I did put a message out on Twitter and Instagram. We are at FPL Experiment on Twitter and Instagram. Headline news for us this game week is that we scored 30 points, only 30 points, and that means we dropped over 600,000 places in the rankings to 1.3 million, which wasn't great. Looking at our team, we've got Sterling, Salah, Grealish, Calvert-Lewin, Robertson, Mopai, and they all blanked. In fact, the only person who scored any points was Harry Kane with an assist. But here's the thing, we've got two transfers to play with today, so we'll discuss that very soon and discuss our moves. Firstly, as we always do at the start of every episode, we're going to talk about our takeaways from game week six, and we'll start with Nick. What was your main takeaway from this game week?
So my takeaway was just try not to beat yourself up about decisions that made complete sense on paper. So our team looked great. I even went so far as to say that if I were to play our wild card last week, I wouldn't have changed anything, which obviously hasn't really aged well. But all the players we selected had a lot going for them from a form and fixture perspective. It's easy to get very irritated at a low scoring week, but you know, more consistent patterns will emerge as the season goes on. And if we stick to our guns, I'm sure we will get up to that top 1%.
Do you know what, Nick? It's interesting that you say that, because one of the guys who messages us on our Twitter page, FPL Elf, who's been a big supporter of our podcast, and thank you very much to the Elf, says, after we scored only 30 points, said, look, if you'd scored 30 points and everyone else was getting 70 or 80 points, then maybe you'd be concerned. But to be honest, that didn't happen this week and loads of people didn't have a good week. So yeah, I think there's no need for the panic, is there?
Yeah, like the average was 48 points for the week across the whole league. So I don't think we need to be too worried. It's just a bit rubbish when you see 30 points.
Greg, how about you? How about takeaways?
I'm going off the Nick Jackson school of thought here. This is going to be fun, isn't it?
So you thought, I'm ill. Adam's not going to, he won't do that.
I'm taking this literally this week. Takeaway of the week was my 56 last. Fish and chips last Friday.
Go for it, do it.
No, my takeaway of the week, literally speaking, was my fish and chips last Friday with curry sauce. You boys know I've just moved house recently and I was really attached to my old fish and chip place. Shout out to the cod father, Bellenden Road.
Okay, I don't want to hear about your fish and chips. Come on. I have got a question for you, actually, that came in from Stadium of Sports that I thought was really interesting. With less goals scored last weekend, will we start seeing a trend towards clean sheets again, and are teams tightening up at the back? Nick, what do you think?
The games we thought there'd be goals, right? United and Chelsea. Frank Lampard obviously wanted to tighten up because he's been shipping goals for fun. Same goes for Mourinho. Mourinho played Ben Davies and he played Doherty when previously he'd been playing Aurier and Reguilon. And he said that was because he wanted to combat their threat in the air. I think he just was a bit upset at having his pants pulled down in the second half by West Ham. And I think those two games should have had a lot of goals in them, but they've gone the polar opposite direction to what they have been doing. So I think maybe people are becoming a bit more defensive and fed up of conceding a lot of goals.
Greg, anything to add?
The free-flowing teams, you look at the Chelsea, that's weird. I'll never say that.
Just going up to the Asdas, the big Asdas.
Yeah, the Asda, the big shop. Yeah, Chelsea. I think there's just a little bit more of a pragmatic approach from a couple of the teams last week. I think a lot of that has to do with people are getting a bit of a pattern now, a routine, training ground they've spent more time on. We had such a short pre-season, didn't we? That I don't think, I mean, you brought this up, didn't you, when we talked about Burnley previously. Sean Dyche was mentioning it quite a lot. I think we'll probably see a slide towards maybe less goals, but I still think it's so unpredictable right now that for the time being, there's goals galore.
Let's get all our money back in defence, guys.
Let's talk about game week picks. Nick, let's start in goal. Nick, how about goalkeepers? Who's on your mind for this week?
Kind of following on from what I was saying about Spurs, I think Hugo Lloris, a home to Brighton, I think he might be taking a bit more of a pragmatic approach now, Mourinho. And there could be a risk he does something similar against Brighton, who have the big man, Dan Burn, and they've got Dunk as well, who are big threats in the air. So who knows what will happen, but I don't expect to see loads of goals at that game. So I'm going Hugo Lloris.
Mirroring what Nick said, Hugo Lloris, I picked him last week and I said he's probably a really good free game punt if you're going to change your goalkeeper. What, he got 9 points last week, save bonus, 2-game bonus points as well against Brighton, who can't seem to score despite how well they're playing at the moment. And then they've got West Brom, which literally can't score at all. So I think for the next two game weeks and this week, yeah, Hugo Lloris is a really good pick and goal.
What do you both think of Mendy? I really like his backstory. 5 years ago in the job centre and now at Chelsea, which is pretty mad. But what do you think of him as a fantasy option, not necessarily as a keeper in general?
I think as a fantasy option now, I think Chelsea have to be considered. They've had three clean sheets in a row against good opposition. I mentioned it earlier, and we've used this word quite a few times already, but pragmatic. I think Frank has put the brakes on a little bit to what they're doing up front. I mean, it has stifled their creativity a little bit and they're not flowing and they're not as fluid as they were at the start of the season, but absolutely should be on people's radars. There was a tweet today, for the life of me, I can't remember who said it, but it was, he has got the exact same stats as Peter Cech did after 4 or 5 games. They're both signed from Rennes. The first 5 games they kept 4 clean sheets and conceded 1 goal or something like that, whatever it is, but there's an absolute mirror image of one another.
Spooky for Halloween, hey? Very spooky. For me, I think Mendy's a great keeper. Well, he seems to be from the first few games. All I would say that if I was going to get a Chelsea defensive player, I'd probably get Chilwell instead. Why would you get an expensive keeper when you could just get another defender who could potentially get assists as well?
I think what was really interesting in the Champions League game is that even though Ziyech was back, Chilwell was still on corners, which makes him a very attractive proposition. I've put down both Chilwell and James from a defensive point of view, purely because James is that bit cheaper. Chelsea kind of on your radar as far as defenders are concerned?
I've chosen Chilwell as my defender of the week. I did have James down, but I just think James is too much of a rotation risk at Chelsea. I think he'll probably play the majority of games in the Premiership. I think in the Champions League, in the Premiership. Aspilicueta is probably going to play more in Europe, but Chilwell's such an exciting option right now. I think he's probably a better option, really, than the Liverpool defence. He's on set pieces. He's bombing down that left wing. He's got so many nice players in front of him that he could get the odd assist as well. And they're starting to get clean sheets.
Do you know what was interesting about the Liverpool defence? Liverpool went with a flat back four, pretty much. And so the two fullbacks getting forward a lot less. And again, that's probably obvious because Van Dijk's out and because everybody's conceding goals and because of the Villa game as well. I wonder whether or not they'll play like that going forward. It's certainly something to keep an eye on. Does that make them less attractive?
You know, with Fabinho being out, supposedly as well, I've not checked today, but I think he's out.
Yeah, he's got a grade one tear, so he's only out for four games a week. I think he's back after the international break, apparently.
You would think that you're then relying again on attacking returns from them. Why wouldn't you downgrade and get someone like Chilwell? Because it gives you another 1.5 million and he's in form.
Nick, how about you in terms of defenders? Anyone that we haven't mentioned?
Yeah, so I've actually gone for Cancelo for City away to Sheffield United. Assist last time out against the Hammers. An 8-pointer the time before that versus Arsenal. 2 attempts on goal and 10 touches in the box in the last 2 games. It's always been tough to call City fullbacks, and I've always tried to stay away from them because of the Pep Roulette situation. But Sheffield United scored the fewest goals in the league. There's a strong clean sheet and assist opportunity there.
I don't think he starts. I think their back four, if he had the perfect choice, would be the two beasts, Laporte and Diaz. I think he'll play Zinchenko left back with Kyle Walker right back. I think that's his strongest back four.
He's played the last 2 games and he's played really well. Why would Zinchenko all of a sudden come in? Isn't Cancelo like a 40 million fullback?
Yeah, since when's that bothered to be?
Yeah, I guess if you're going to spend that kind of money and you're going to go above a 4.5 or a £5 million option, you kind of want certainty of starters. In terms of midfielders, Son is the obvious option, owned by 56% of teams. Last time I looked, we don't have him. He's obvious because they play Brighton and Brighton are really terrible at the back. And obviously he's scoring for fun. So we won't talk about Son anymore. I think Rashford is really interesting at the moment. Interesting because in the Champions League, he not only scored the hat-trick, but he played at number 9 alongside Martial. And United need to change something. Like, something has to change for them to be able to score goals. And maybe that's the change they're planning to make. It's really interesting to see whether or not they continue to do that on a regular basis, to have those two playing alongside each other. Because at the end of last season, that definitely wasn't the way that they played. Rashford played more on the left-hand side.
I thought for the first time watching Rashford when he was throwing goal that there wasn't a doubt he was actually going to score. When he was one-on-one those 3 times, he just lashed it in and it was just no, he didn't think about it. It seemed to be a lot more natural at the moment. And obviously he's confident, so there's an element of that to it. But he's on form right now.
He had some pretty good chances against Chelsea as well. But the only thing was Mendy made a couple of really good saves. Rashford's scored, obviously, against Newcastle, but also had a number of shots from inside the penalty area. He's a really good option as a midfielder at 9.5, I think.
You know when you get a feeling for a player and you really, really want them in your team? I've got that for him this week. I'll do everything I can to get him into our team.
Ahead of Bamford.
Nick, are you sure it's not... I mean, that could just be meatballs. Are you sure it's Rashford or meatballs?
Rashford or meatballs.
I think it might be a little bit of both. But he actually, having said that, I mean, this kind of goes exactly against my point, but the midfielder that I'd written down was De Bruyne. I feel like this is De Bruyne's comeback game. Away to Sheffield United, 2 assists in the Champions League in midweek. It's evident City are struggling at the moment, but now the big man's back. Get him in there and get him to bang some points in.
Greg, how about you in terms of midfielders?
Obviously, I watched Leeds game and I just thought, the fact that Villa didn't score a goal against us, Grealish was desperately unlucky not to. Obviously, Ayling with that magnificent clearance off the line. Great positioning.
I mean, he was just stood there. Sorry, Greg.
But he also had that, what would have probably been goal of the season had it gone in, when he ran through the whole of our team from his outside.
Yeah, he was amazing.
And I think there's goals in that Southampton game. I'm glad he's still in our team. And they've got such a good run of games coming up. Amazing run of games. So I think he's a really good option.
Nick, how about up front this week? I know you were really keen on Antonio. He was looking great. hamstring injury kind of suggests that he'll be out for at least one, possibly 2 weeks, which is a real shame.
Apparently he's not out. Apparently he's back.
He's got magic ones too.
It's those thighs. They help recuperate the hamstrings.
I'm actually devastated because I was very excited about next week getting him into our team for Mope. He's looked so good. I know he's not had loads of points, but he looks amazing. So I really hope he's fine because I think for our team, that could be a big blow if he's not. My forward pick this week was quite dull, but Jimenez at home to Palace. Wolves haven't been great of late, but Jimenez has delivered points in his last two games, an 8 and a 9. You know, when there's a weird week like this, you need players like Jimenez just to kind of keep ticking over. Palace have conceded the third most shots in the box in the league this season, which is great news for Jimmy.
Great news for Jimmy.
Oh, Kyler knew.
That Pino Noel's kicking in.
Do you know, funny, not funny, because it's not ha-ha funny, but an Antonio fact. Only Kane has scored more goals than Antonio since the restart.
He's going to get points this weekend against Liverpool. You can just smell it.
If he plays, that's the thing, because you know, West Ham employee on Twitter, he said that there was a really bad feeling around Antonio and they didn't think he'd be back. But anyway, I don't know if there's been development since maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Greg, how about you, strikers? What are you saying?
Paddy Bamford. Oh, was it ever in doubt?
I'm going to go and top up my wine.
Greg, I'll turn you down. I've just turned your mic down. We kind of need to now we've done game week picks and I'm not listening to Greg talk about Bamford. If you stop now, because I'll turn you... There you go, you're back up. Right, so we need to talk about what we're going to do with our team. The really good thing with our team is that we've got two free transfers to play with, and it feels like we need them because last week we only got 30 points. It feels like there's an opportunity to do something nice with our team if we want to take it. So with that in mind, Nick, do you want to go first and just talk about how you think we should use the two transfers?
Very exciting, two transfers. It's like a mini wild card. I mean, I know it's very tempting to kind of go a bit mad after a very low scoring week, but I think I have gone a bit mad, if I'm honest. Initially, as I just said, I wanted to get Antonio in and that was going to be my move, rolling the one over to the following week. But what I was thinking, and I think based on your feedback on my defender pick earlier, you're not going to like this, but I wanted to get Mope out because he's not really delivering. I wanted to get Jorginho out because there's question marks over whether he's taking penalties going forward. And I also wasn't that bothered about Robertson, which I know is controversial, but he's so expensive that I thought we could shift that money elsewhere. And what I wanted to do was get in Rashi. You know, you can't ignore that 3 goals midweek against a decent Leipzig side. Get Cancelo in and then put Brewster up top as a bench warmer. So basically swapping a midfield bench warmer for a striker.
I should probably point out that we've got Mopai, and Mopai is definitely a problem player. He's not really scoring. His fixtures aren't particularly good. We've got Jorginho, who missed a penalty in the week, but then Werner stepped up and scored a penalty. And Frank Lampard's comments afterwards would potentially suggest, well, what he said was that would be discussed in the changing room. And that Jorginho has been brilliant from the spot, but maybe there's an argument that Werner comes in and takes the penalties. What were you saying about Nick's selections?
Awful. Man, I think if you're going to take out Jorginho, fair enough, bring in Rashford, makes sense, form player. But then to get rid of Robertson, to bring in potentially, what's the phrase I'm trying to use, but a risk player in Cancelo.
He could be someone else.
I thought you were going to say, bring Chilwell in for Robertson, Rashford in for Jorginho, and then we've got 4.1 million to play around with, which
there's no strikers.
That's why I was worried about your maths there.
So, Greg, you're not particularly happy with what Nick's saying. What would be your play? What were you thinking coming into the podcast?
I'm happy with our squad. I think actually we've got the nucleus of a really good team there that, yes, had a bit of a blip last week, but I would only change Mopai for Bamford. I think it's a sensible decision. I think we take stock of where we are after this game week and then we roll another free transfer, so we've got two for next week.
This is my thought, and this potentially is somewhere in between, but it's not quite what you were saying. So Mopai needs to go and Jorginho is a bit of a question mark, and as far as he's concerned, maybe we could try to get off of him slightly earlier before everybody else makes that mass exodus. So I think potentially we could swap Mopai for Bamford. The thing is, looking in and around that price bracket, without Antonio, there's not really a striker around the 6 million price point that really intrigues me that much. Bamford's stats have changed significantly from the first couple of games of the season to the past 2-3 games. And Leeds seem to be in a bit of a rhythm, as much as it pains me to say it with Greg on the podcast. What we could then do is take Robertson out of defence, replaced with a £4 million player. The only one I can see consistently playing at the moment is Struick. And that gives us the option then to bring in potentially Rashford in midfield. But to be honest with you, if it was me at the moment, I'd be thinking about Son, because his next two games are Brighton and West Brom. So if it was me and I was making a play for it, I'd be saying Bamford, Son and Struick for Robertson, Jorginho and Mopai.
So you could swap Son, obviously, because we his name's Mud around here.
He's not Mud to me. He's in my own personal team, Nick, and he's doing just
in
fine.
Your own personal team?
In my own personal Jesus. Team, yeah.
Well, let's get him in then. I love Rashford. I want him in, but can we afford... Is Son more expensive?
They're the same price, afford, I think.
Yeah, everything that Ad's just said leaves us with exactly zero in the bank, but does obviously...
It's almost like I did some research before doing the podcast, which I know is unusual given previous podcasts.
I like that as a balance between the two decisions. It gives Greg that little bit of Bamford that he wants, who is just comparing to Cristiano Ronaldo. I know.
Do you want some more Bamford stats? I've got loads of Bamford stats.
No. And I think that's a really nice balance, because you're not then left with someone who can't play. With my plan, you're left with Brewster, who is never going to play, and you've got Bissouma, and then you've got a lot of dross at the back as well. Is Struick nailed on for a little while?
I think Struick plays for the next 2-3 games.
To be honest with you, Struick doesn't get anywhere near our team anyway, because Kilman would play
before
Struick, probably, because we've already got Dallas.
Greg, if you did your plan, who would be our starting lineup?
Martinez, Castagne, Robertson, and probably Kilman this week, with Sterling, Salah, Grealish, Jorginho, Bamford, Kane, Calvert-Lewin.
All we would be missing would be Rashford or Son from that, if we did have them. Yeah, Adam's plan makes more sense from a fun perspective.
I also don't think we can afford to lose 4 points at the moment as well. That's a big points here, and probably drops us down at maybe another 100,000 places. I don't know. But I think it's an unnecessary risk to take away those 4 points.
Okay, but if you were to roll the transfers to next week, I mean, I'm not expecting you to know what you do with them, but is there a significant turn in fixtures that we could take advantage of? I want to do something with these two transfers. I feel like this is an opportunity that we don't often get, and we will probably get 2 or 3 times a season.
Okay, here's a question for you then. Would you take a 4-point hit in this scenario for your own team?
Yeah, at the moment, this team's more important than my own team.
Okay, cool. It's exciting. As long as I get Paddy in, I'm happy. Son, welcome back.
Hold up. Are we going Son over Rashi? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm only doing this if we get Son in. I'd rather Son over Rashi.
You have final say. Is that what we're saying?
Well, no, because I think this is what Ad wants to say. So yeah, I kind of have final say.
I'm only doing it if we get Son. Interesting.
I think Son's got better fixtures for the next two, and then after that, things turn for Rashford.
See, that's all I needed, Greg. I didn't need that. You know, I'm only doing it if we get him. Ad gave me a reason, and I've accepted it.
I do get it. Son versus Rashford is...
We've already got Kane.
Yeah, I know, but West Brom and Brighton, come on. In those two games, what will happen is Son won't score because he's a little bitch for us.
So true.
He'll have a hamstring injury for two games.
He'll do his hammy, yeah.
Captain decision, it's one or the other. It's Kane or it's Salah. Greg, Kane or Salah?
Salah.
Both at home. Salah versus West Ham. Kane versus Brighton. You're not bothered about that West Ham defence, which was pretty good against Man City?
No, I think Salah again was unlucky at the weekend not to return for us. I think he's looked really good all season, and he loves playing against West Ham. He's like 4 goals and 2 assists in the last 5 games, like in the Premiership against them. So I'm still sticking with Salah for me.
You said last week that he was a cheat code though, Greg. Why are you not going for Kane at home against Brighton?
Salah's just singing to me.
Is he in your gut? With my meatballs.
Filling the bars. No, yeah.
I agree. I'm Mo every day at home.
Mo every day for you? Well, if both of you are going for Mo, then, well, I'm outvoted there. So Mo Salah.
Who would you have gone?
See, I think Salah, and he was really unlucky. Obviously, he hit the post and had that goal disallowed, which would have been absolutely delicious in the volley. But
it's lovely.
I'm looking at Salah, and I wonder how much West Ham will suffer because they don't have Antonio as an outlet if he's out. Yeah. Obviously, that's up in the air at the moment, but I'm leaning towards Salah if that's the case. So look, we're looking at Salah.
Haller is absolute pony.
I also think this week as well, Salah won't be the captain of choice for the majority of people. So if he does bang, then we could jump up the leagues quite well.
I mean, I'm not sure about Salah not being most people's captain selection.
I think he will be.
Yeah.
You reckon? I think everyone's going to go Kane or Son this week.
Nah. Anyway, let's get into differentials. We've got a differential league table running, right? Now, we consider a player to be a differential if they're owned by under 10% of all the people that play fantasy football. Now, we've been selecting players like Rashford and Aguero. And yes, Rashford and Aguero, they fit by the rules that we set at the start of the season, but it feels wrong and it feels dirty. And we've been talking about this behind the scenes for a few weeks, but also we've had some feedback that people feel that it's bringing the integrity of the podcast into question. And what is integral to this podcast, of course, is integrity, as well as letting you know what Nick's had for dinner every week. But that is integral to this podcast. So no expense spared on the sound effects. We are ripping it up. The rules are changing. That's...
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's me ripping some paper.
That's budget.
So the new rules are this, that the player's value to be considered a differential has to be under £8 million, and they have to be owned by less than 5%. That is the new rules, starting from scratch, of the differential league table. Greg, do you want to do the jingle?
Differential of the week.
Well, there's a bit of vibrato on the back of that one.
So with that in mind and with the new rules, Nick Jackson, who is your differential of the week? We'll let you go first because you were so terrible in the previous non-existent format.
Obviously, so I've been sticking to these new rules the whole time. So this is easy for me. I've gone for...
Steward's inquiry on that. But the thing is, there's evidence. You can go back to the previous podcast and listen.
I'm going to go for Ademola Lookman for Fulham at home to the Baggies. He's owned by 0.4% of teams. He looks electric and anything good seems to come from him. I know it's Fulham, lads. But I mean, against a West Brom team that has the leakiest defence in the league so far, he might sneak a goal.
The thing is with Lookman as well, he's come from that Leipzig team where last season they were brilliant and he was sat behind the likes of Sabitzer and Nkunku. Superb form. And he also looks like that player who's got something to prove. Like he was just on the cusp of that team. He was right on the cusp of the Everton team. Yeah, I like him.
My love for the bookies is a bit like your love for the Bundesliga. Every single episode.
But I told you that I watch the Bundesliga sometimes.
No, you've not, mate.
You'd never guess.
Greg, how about you?
My differential of the week is Jack Harrison. 5.5 million, 1.9% owned. You nicked my adjective for Lookman, saying he was electric. That's how I was going to describe Jack Harrison against Aston Villa. He completed the most key passes in that game out of anyone. I just thought he was amazing to watch. I thought every time he got the ball, something was going to happen. I think there's goals in the game against Leicester. It could go either way that game, but he's my differential of the week.
This is on the verge of filth, but I'm going to go for Ziyech. Played 80 minutes in the Champions League, scored, looked brilliant. 1.4% of teams
integrity.
Have got
him.
Integrity is mate, integral. You said that was our new tagline. Integrity?
New rules, under 8 million, owned by less than 5%.
But you're not playing the game, Adam.
That is the game because 1.4% of people have selected him and he's owned by less than 5%. That's the rules, Nicholas.
Is set it by
you
is
even
it...
wrote those rules in our WhatsApp group.
Hope you're happy with yourself, Adam, because that is disgusting.
He does look good, to be fair.
He does look really good.
Lookman, Harrison and Ziyech Filth on the FPL Experiment podcast. Any other business, lads, before we finish off here?
I'm just looking forward to, you know, the big comeback week for us. Going to be some points in the bank.
If Leeds absolutely smash Leicester, can I get 40 seconds to talk about them next week?
No.
No. Right, the FPL Experiment podcast. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Salah's the captain. Three transfers coming in. Son, Bamford and Struick bring on the points for the FPL Experiment team.